Good morning, church. Good morning. Buenos dias, iglesia. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So he's saying, make sure that we shine in such a way so that God is glorified, not ourselves. And if we shine our light so that his glory is diminished, that means I'd say that our light has been diminished. If we're not showing who he is, if we're not pointing the light to him, it's like God gave us a light and we use that light to point back to him. And if we're not doing that, pointing it to ourselves or something else, or we're diminishing the light, we're not being the city on top of a hill. What if every Christian in this country was like a city on a hilltop that could not be hidden? And I dare say our country would be a lot different. I think we all could admit that we have not always shown our light like we should. Perhaps we look at it in two extremes, light and darkness. Darkness is showing no light at all, and this is the darkness of being unsaved, the darkness of being lost. Those who shine no light now, those who choose to not show God's light now, will eventually find themselves in a place of eternal darkness, described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm not too sure if you've ever been in pure darkness before, but it's not a good place to be. I can understand why they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth just due to the darkness. Yet every single person has the opportunity to accept Christ as Lord and Savior and be baptized in the name of Jesus. The Bible says if you repent, you make that confession that Christ is the Son of God, if you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And from that point on, we are blessed. We are given, if you will, God's light. We are given a light that we hear about in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 5. Let's read that real quick. A lot of verses again today. And it says, "And they, and there in heaven, there will no longer be any night. And they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." That's the kind of light that we are given as Christians in portion. It'll be everywhere in heaven, but we are still given a portion of it, I believe, as Christians to shine and glorify God. Our future will be a place of light forever. So light and dark are the extremes, but as I said, every Christian, I believe, was beaming light at full blast when we were baptized. But I believe perhaps since then we may have diminished it somewhat. I mean, I'm the first to say that I have not always shown light as clearly as I could have. When given the opportunity to present to somebody the nature of Christ, I cannot say I have always given it in the right way. My light has been dimmed. My Christianity, I pray, is mostly pure light, but I must admit it has at times come between the light and darkness. I have sadly at times displayed the ability to turn off the light, if need be. On at church, but off at work. On at a Bible study, but off at a party. We may do it because we think that there's some kind of advantage to darkness in certain situations. Because in darkness, bad things can take place. And we can turn our Christianity off. Perhaps somebody's even told us, "Can you tone down your Christianity, please? Can you like dial down a bit, please?" And we may have said, "Okay, I'll dial it down. I will diminish my light for you." However, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5 says that when it comes to Christ, there really is no, there's no sense of style. There's no diminishing the power of God. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. "And we should not let anybody diminish our light. Paul says, I solemnly charge you. I mean, I'm serious about this. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke or reprove, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. We can't be a part of that. And I pray that we are not in a state of diminished or turned off light when Christ comes. I pray we have not decided in our Christian walk to display or get comfortable with a dim light. Again, our first, after baptism, we're shining bright, take on the world, sins washed away. Yet over time, we might have dimmed our light. We might have created a more politically correct Christianity. We may have decided that the miracles in the Bible, as supposed people of God have said in the past, that miracles in the Bible can't be true because they're not scientifically accurate or possible, so they're good examples of what we should do. They didn't really happen. That's called a dim light view. Maybe we're making more and more of the Bible more symbolic than literal, because a literal reading of the Bible may go against what society says about life, about our history. That, in my opinion, is called a dim light Christianity. Maybe we've tempered the gospel. We've taken away certain aspects of the gospel so that it might reach more people, so we think. That is a dim light Christianity, in my opinion, because Galatians 1, 8 and 9 says this. Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9 says this. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached, said before, let him be accursed. As we have said before, I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. The battery of our light is faith, and perhaps we've not worked out our faith any longer. Maybe we trusted in God originally, but the outcome didn't turn out as we wanted, and we dim our light. Maybe a ministry didn't work out as you wished, and now we're holding back now. Maybe we got hurt, and we're careful now. Let's not be too bright anymore. Maybe we've become dim light Christians. Sure, we're more positive than negative. Better to be with us than not with us, but not as positive as we used to be. We'll do the right thing when it comes down to it, but we're not looking to really improve ourselves anymore. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 shows the attitude of somebody who is maintaining their light, somebody who refuses to let themselves become dim in any way. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Look at the attitude here. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That is the attitude of keeping a light bright, making sure they remain disciplined. I can't find much use for dim light. I can't find much use for dim light in real life. If you're reading in dim light, it may cause you eye strain. Studies say that sleeping with dim light reduces your quality of sleep, can cause nightmares. Like if you fall asleep with your TV on, that can cause problems. And bugs like bed bugs and cockroaches, they hate normal light, but they don't mind dim light. I was in Alabama years ago, hanging out at some college student's house, and we walked in the kitchen and turned the light on, and I was aghast, shocked. Because in Alabama, they have huge, big old bugs. And huge bugs. I'm a Yankee. I'm from New York. Bugs don't get that big. These bugs fled. And like, ah, you Yankee. It said, we know out here that when you turn a light, keep your eyes closed for a bit after you turn a light on in the kitchen, because you may see a few things you don't want to see. You see, roaches don't like clean houses. They don't. They love dirt and leftovers and filth. I was raised to always clean that kitchen, wipe out the sink before I go to bed, because if not, roaches may show up. But roaches hate normal light that we need to see properly. So here's a tip. If you ever want to see just how clean your kitchen is, put on a red light in your kitchen. Put on a red light. It's a dimmer light that roaches don't really mind. And the analogy, I hope, between roaches and sin is pretty obvious. The analogy of roaches and sin, it goes together. It's easy. Do I have to even explain it? If we keep our spirituality in a dim place, it will allow pretty nasty things to be comfortable in our lives. They're going to stick around. They're going to show up. Because the nastiest things in our lives cannot stand under the pure light of Christ. And so if we keep on shining a powerful, pure light on our lives, if we keep that light in our lives proper, you see nasty things are just not comfortable. But if we keep it dim, they're going to show up. So I see little use for dim light in our faith. And Christ himself will use analogies besides dim light to say the same exact thing. Christ said, I don't want salt that's not salty. And Christ doesn't want lukewarm water Christians either. Both of these analogies are the same as dim light Christians. Matthew 5:13, look at this. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's a dim light analogy. Or the book of Revelation 3:15. 3:15 and 16. I know your deeds, and you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Okay? There's no room for that kind of situation. If we're showing dim light in God's eyes, you might as well turn off that light. That's how God views things. Unsalty salt, what is that used for? Well, they put that on the roads where I'm from, and then cars run over it in icy weather. You just run over that kind of salt. And it's kind of that same analogy here. And lukewarm water, that's like going to a store and getting a coffee and you think it's hot and you drink it and it's lukewarm. That's disgusting. Same exact way. There's no use for it. Or rather than being spit out, we can choose to turn our light back on, bright as ever. Again, remember when we became Christians, we knew at that time period that we were leaving darkness behind. We knew that this is a separation, there's a change. Book of Revelation again, Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. 2, 4, and 5 says, he's talking to a church and they forgot, they became dim. I had this against you. They're still a church, but they're not where they have to be. They're dim now. I have this against you that you have left your first love. Therefore, repent. Remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else, check it out, I am coming to you and remove your light. I remove your lampstand out of its place. Unless you repent. We may be able to exist in that in-between state under God's mercy, but at some point, God's going to say, you better shine that light or I'm going to take it away. When we were baptized, we were changing our lives. We were saved. We had a future. We were going to overcome. Nothing has changed since our baptism. It's the same thing. We still have a future. We still got to overcome things. Depression out there is still darkness. Addiction is still darkness. Broken, stupid actions is still darkness. Having no goals in life, having no idea about life is still darkness. Nothing has changed out there. There's nothing out there in the world that's different. It's still the same darkness. So let us not try to go back to that place. Keep that light bright for Christ. Well, how do we keep our light bright for Christ? Well, I can only say what I believe the Bible will tell us to do and what has worked for me. When we read the Bible and choose to say, I'm going to believe in what it says and see what happens, or I'm going to say, I'm going to do what it says and see what happens, we keep our light bright. Malachi 3:10 says this, test me. God says, test me and see that all that I say is true. Malachi, see that I will do all the things that I told you I would do. Read the Bible and say, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what it says and see what happens. And I promise you, there'll be blessings. Speak in fellowship with all the brethren in the church. We help each other maintain that light. We give each other enthusiasm, encouragement. So not going to church is one way to make our light dim. Do something more for Christ this year than last year. Add to your faith, add to your ministry, add to your spirituality. And then this year, when this year is done, do something more next year than this year. If not, we may find ourselves stagnating, dimming, lukewarming, salt to be stepped upon, determined to grow. Physically, we have no choice but to grow. I mean, whether we like it or not, we have to grow up. But spiritually, it's interesting. We can choose to grow up or not grow up. We can actually halt our own growth spiritually. The Bible says we can do so. But choose to grow up. Choose to grow in the Lord. This light can never grow dim if charged with the battery of faith as combined with works. And think about this in our own lives. There are some jobs that we can't do unless we have light. I've worked on my car with Rich Haynes before, and I have the very important job at times of holding the light, and he does the hard work. My job is very important. He couldn't do it without the light. However, I'm holding the light. And you will find this, guys, that nothing really, there are so many things, especially in ministry, in what we do, in which you need light. If there's no light, if we don't have the light of God involved with it, it will not function. It's not going to work. If we can't see what we are doing, you cannot do a thing. So if we dim our light, our ministries are going to fall apart. They're not going to work. We're not going to grow. It's logical. And in some ways, we are given the easy job. God's in the hard part. All we have to do is shine the light that God created. He died on the cross. He rose again. He suffered. He bled. He died. He simply said, take my light and show me. Work can only be done if the light is pointed at the right direction. Again, the basic reason why we have light is to see something. Sure, when I'm driving in the car and you see Jesus' rays, pretty light. But normally speaking, we don't stare at light. We look at what light shows. To see something. So what is our light from God supposed to help us see? God. That's the main point of our light, to point back to God. Let's not make the mistake of trying to point that light upon ourselves. Again, Matthew 5:16, let your good deeds shine that they may see your good works and glorify God. Here's the thing about it. You're going to see your good works, but they're going to glorify God. That means your light is shining towards God. It's a very tricky command. How do I do all these things and not take credit for it? How do I do all these things and not make a big deal about it? How do I? It takes maturity. It takes practice, humility. Make sure God is glorified in all that we do. Even Christ himself, who, you know, we're discussing this morning. Even Christ himself, who was called the bright and morning star. Even Christ himself made sure I'm pointing to God. In the book of Mark, By the time we get to chapter 10, Jesus Christ had a huge reputation. He was the man, the talk of the town. He had done many, many, many good deeds by this time. However, look at Mark 10, 17 and 18. Mark 10, 17 and 18. I want to copy this example. I want to do this. Because if Jesus spoke this way, I want to talk this way. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." That's Christ saying, boom, God. John 8:44. Look at his attitude. This is him. This is him doing Matthew 16. This is Matthew 5:16 in action. John 8:54. Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing." That's what Christ said. That's what Jesus Christ said. "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God." That's why the song, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Not we lift ourselves up, he will lift you up. Let's spend a lot of time talking about what God has done for us. Let's spend a lot of time talking about what God has done for this church and what we have done. Let's spend a lot of time talking about honoring God between our getting up and going to sleep. We may be the best people in the whole world, but let's make sure everybody knows it's only due to God. Because that light has to be pointed at God in order for any work to be done. In order for any ministry to succeed, in order for this church to grow, in order for the church to be effective, the bright light that is not switched off nor dimmed must be pointed to God. Church, please think about these things as we stand and sing.